What's up, everybody? It's Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
And this is a podcast about contemporary mythology and the paranormal. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, two bonus episodes a week. Big news. Once you're done with your Robert Smith, you know, infatuations and what a weirdo he is, check out Murdertown episode 3. Anyway, we got a new time slot. We're switching. We're going 3 hours early next week. And for all foreseeable future, we're going to be at 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific here on Shrub Home Video. So if you that's going to be a relief to most of you who don't want to sit through this. If you do like it, we'll be on at 4 now. So that's the news. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. It's our good friend. Been on the show a couple times now. He's a dialogue editor, sound designer, composer. It's Todd Donald. What's up, Todd?
Happy to be here, guys.
Bloodblade. Bloodblade is the show that he and Willie do for Frequency 101, and that's coming out tomorrow. Is that right?
That's right.
What's the episode? How many episodes?
We're on 7.
So the 7th episode, is this the last one?
Well, we're doing sort of like we did a 6-episode arc. So this episode coming out tomorrow is the beginning of a new 6-episode.
Oh, arc. So it's the first one. For all intents and purposes, this is the first one.
Yeah, I mean, you could start here or you could go back and listen to the other 6.
And how do you even do that? Just anywhere that podcasts are, you type in Frequency 101?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, they're on my website too, if I can plug that.
To find Frequency, you'll get all the episodes from each month in one episode.
That's right.
If that makes sense.
What's the plug your website? Don't let Willie fucking roll over your fucking plugs that you just gotta get out.
I can't. And before we get to the plug, let's just let me roll through again. Don't let me stop you.
Oh, ToddDonald.com. ToddDonald.com.
TacoDonaldTacoDon.com?
I'm putting it in the chat. It's ToddDonald.com.
Which chat? By the way, if you want to see what the chatters are saying, you can go to the Discord. I said this, but you were out of the room. Anyway, sorry. So Todd, you've been on a show a few times.
Mm-hmm.
At least a few, right?
Well, I was on before, and we talked about future governments. I vaguely remember. I was unprepared, but I'm a little bit more prepared.
Listen, the guest is you're a freelancer, man. You can be as prepared as you want to be. I'm the only one who gets away with not being prepared at all. Because I mean, I could look all this stuff up on the internet and then just like read back to you the things that they say on the internet, but I'd rather not do that.
Rather live through the experience.
I'd rather just like speak from my mind and my soul.
What? Well, you guys had a third host for a while between when I was last on and this time. did I just miss that?
You just missed it. You missed it by 2 weeks.
And that's because we only did live shows back then and you weren't in LA.
Right. That's fair.
I don't know. We're not going to apologize to you. Okay. That's not going to happen. We do not apologize on the show.
Well, I'm Canadian, so that's all we do.
Well, welcome to New York.
Sorry about the best drummer in the world. Neil Peart.
Ooh, John Bonham's son would have something to say about that. So Todd, how into the world of paranormal and conspiracy theory type stuff are you?
Like I'm very open to all of the stuff. Like I love stories, especially that deal with that. But I don't particularly take a special interest in it. Apart from,
so you don't do any like late night, fuck, I can't stop like looking this crazy stuff up.
Unless it's this podcast, I do not. No. It's interesting.
Do you look up the things that we talk about on this podcast?
No. Like if I don't need to know it for a test.
Ooh, conspiracy test. That's a great new social media thing.
Yeah, everyone gets a fucking 100 because it's all subjective. All right. Well, listen. I don't know if I believe you based on your own word about how into the subject matter you are. So we have a little something called the WOW scale.
Take your temperature.
Are you awake or are you willing?
Whoa, Willie did a robot thing. All right, so the WOW scale stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end, I would give you a grade anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. Are you ready to be weighed on the WOW scale?
Is this the WOW scale? Yes.
That's the shit. Shut, don't say that. We're not allowed to say that anymore. That's not true. We changed it voluntarily. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes to the first one and no to the other two.
Great. Oh, wait, where's my notes? Second question, ghosts?
Yes.
Okay. Third question. What is the third question? Bigfoot?
Just Bigfoot question mark?
Bigfoot question mark, yeah.
All right. Why would say yes to the first two and not this one? Yes.
What?
Canada's got all that space. That's where they're all at. Go on.
It just kind of felt like you were talking yourself into that.
Well, it's just like I guess I'm just more agnostic than anything, and just like open to the possibility. Like with ghosts and aliens, I don't have any proof that they don't exist either. So it's kind of like
they probably could.
Yeah.
Right.
What happens after we die? I don't know, but something.
What does happen after we die?
Something.
do you think something? Because I think nothing.
Well, something I don't know about.
All right. Psychics?
No, they're a bunch of phonies.
What about telekinesis?
That would be so awesome. That one I'm going to pass. I'm going to say no on that.
Okay. That's not a part of it. It's just something I ask sometimes. Do you believe that we live in a simulation, or do you believe in simulation theory?
Yo?
Is this the first time you're hearing these? I thought you were a listener.
I am, but I don't think about what my answers are. I'm just curious about what the guest has to say.
Okay. Well, you're like a 3. You're like a low 3.
Okay. I hear that.
What do you
lot.
Think? Is that right? You're a low 3. Is that what the ladies tell you?
I do like the Bigfoot being Canadian and like apologize. That's why you don't find the bones. Oh, sorry about these bones. We'll clean them up as soon as we can.
Let me get them out of here. I'll just throw them in my portal here, eh?
I'm just going to go hide somewhere, eh?
What part of Canada are you?
I'm near Toronto, like an hour outside of Toronto.
Okay, pretend I don't know anything about Canada.
I feel now like Toronto tell me was, where you okay. pretty far to the east of the continent.
You should say it's okay. The New York, Canada's New York, because it's close to New York. It's the metropolitan.
It's the waterfall one, right? Niagara Falls. Yeah.
It's near there too. Like just to let people know if they don't already, like Kitchener-Waterloo is big. It's sort of our northern Silicon Valley. And BlackBerry.
But it's just
BlackBerry started here.
It's just startups for maple syrup and stuff.
BlackBerry the phone?
Yeah, like tech, coding, robots, all this shit is being done in Kitchener-Waterloo and BlackBerry started here a while ago too.
They're not doing well. The iPhone kind of killed the BlackBerry, yeah.
No, but like Google has a station here, and Bigfoot, of course, and I live in a very non-arts focused place, so that's why I use the internet to connect with to find people like you. But otherwise, nothing's going on here. It's Canada. Most people
got to go to Vancouver, man.
Right?
That's like where it's at.
Toronto, Vancouver, New York, LA. That's where all the creative people in this continent are, right?
Yeah, but then we only shoot in Atlanta and, I don't know, Saskatchewan.
Right.
I don't know. Seriously, I'm so stupid. I feel like I didn't learn anything in school ever. Willie.
Yo,
hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, is it the end of the world as we know it? Again? Is this in a Chicken Little situation? Basically, is there supporting evidence of the world from ancient cultures knowing of some sort of cosmic event that could be happening? We're going to dive into a bunch of little weird things and tie them all together tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
So, a generic end of the world is what I got out of that.
Yeah, this one kind of started with this. We're not going to like explain the documentary, but there's this documentary I saw called...
Secrets of Alchemy.
Thank you. I did write it right there. The Secrets of Alchemy by this guy, Jay Wiedner. Basically, he was trying to get into alchemy, found this book at this estate sale in North Hollywood. And he started following clues of this statue that was kind of unique. The statue was called the book that he read was The Mystery of the Cathedrals. And the statue in reference, it's funny, like, dadgummit. Do you remember, Todd? there's this weird statue that, whatever, I'll just start talking. This guy who wrote this book, The Mystery of the Cathedrals, pointed out this statue and was like, this statue has got, really understands this ancient alchemy language. Basically, it's riddled with secrets about the end of the world. And
the statue is?
Yeah.
And where is the statue? I'm sorry.
The cross of Hende. No, I couldn't find it. I see it right now. The cross of Hende.
No, but did you say where it is?
No. It's outside of some castle in France, I think. I don't know. I forget where it's at. But
if this were America, where would France be?
Picture seeing a boot.
Oh, it's
like
I've seen a lot of boots
behind.
What's that a boot?
It's the sexy part behind the boot.
No Canadian joke.
Sorry.
I'll bet you like that letter, Kenny, huh?
It's all right. I like that maple syrup hockey brush. Yeah. No, it's
good. Just the fucking triple crown of hockey shit or Canadian shit.
You know what I love with Canadian shit though? It's like I haven't seen it yet. I'm really excited to watch the Barbie movie, but like Barbie, the iconic American toy, iconic American movie, starring Australian actor as Barbie and a Canadian actor playing Ken. It's pretty neat. Go Canada.
It's funny because the American accent, if you are not American and you can get the American accent, like, welcome to acting. Like, American actors aren't getting your part. I'm just laughing. Like, they're great.
What about that corner station or whatever that one is? What's that one?
Corner Gas.
Yeah. Is that a piece of shit? That's a piece of shit, right?
I never watched it. I'll be honest. Like, there's the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which I never watched. I watched always NBC, like late night comedy, and Comedy Network and American stuff.
As a Canadian, you understand what I mean when I'm watching something and I say it's got that Canada stink on it. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I sort of do.
Because it like looks a little off. You're like, what is this? Why is it? It seems like it should be on TV, but it kind of shouldn't.
Yeah, but every time I see Canadians represented in American shows, it's always that weird caricature-ish thing. Whereas like most Canadians I know are like the Americans we watch in movies. Like,
sure.
I mean,
I don't. It's because, listen, I'm gonna. I hate to be the one to break this to you. You guys are boring, and so there's not a lot to really get out except for the aboots and the A's.
I think Canada's our hopeful little brothers and sisters that are what I envisioned America should have turned into. I say that because like I feel like if you're looking at America as like a social place where people can whatever, that like you would assume that they would want to know who their neighbors are. I feel like that's why I picture Canada. And America is like, my neighbors.
Well, listen, why don't we ask the source here? We've got one. Do you know who your neighbors are?
I'm a great example. Yes, I do not know.
I think everyone's the same everywhere. It's not Mayberry up in Canada. It's
I'm just projecting here. Myself onto Canada because they're not tainted, and I'm like, you got to know your neighbors.
They're very tainted. They're tainted.
I think a lot of Canadians have that notion too. And the thing is, we have a lot of the same, if not all of the same, social problems up here. And like when, you know, when BLM came around, the exact same racist kind of people spoke out, and people are like, I can't believe there's racism in Canada.
Yeah. Didn't you have like the truckers who were like trying to stop doing trucker stuff because they didn't like whatever weird politics was happening?
Yeah. Those idiots. Yeah. I'm sorry I dragged this into this Canada
conference. Oh, I think I started it. Don't apologize. So let's get back to this. Yeah. What is the end of the world? Like specifically, what's going to happen?
I'm going to jump into the... Okay, well, let me ask you guys something first. Because this is probably another projection that I'm doing to what I'm taking in, you know? If, let's say we knew of a cataclysmic event happening 26,000 years from now. Do you think that we would prepare as if our society will make it through this and we need to all be aware of it? Or do you think we would leave clues for a future society because we know that whatever we have now isn't going to be around?
Todd, do you want to take it?
Well, like,
and that's leading. I only give you two options, but do you think we do either one of those?
26,000 years. What would we even do? Write it on the mountain? Like what, how would you 26,000 years? What's going to survive for 26,000 years that we could...
Megalithic structures.
Like the pyramids?
Yeah.
But they have no information.
So that's where we're leaning towards, you know, like, that's where I'm leaning towards, is that like...
I understand. But we would write in English and then 26,000 years would pass and they would have no idea what English is anymore. So they would have to try to decipher it just like we do with the hieroglyphs, right?
Yeah. And so we've talked about this documentary series before, but Ancient Apocalypse on Netflix, made by Graham Hancock. That's kind of what he's suggesting, is that there was a giant event and so then 26,000 years later, it's going to happen again because of some cycle or something. And so all these megalithic structures and people went underground, have all this serpent worship. And he's suggesting that some of the serpent worship is actually comets and meteors, saying that, like, hey, we're paying attention to the stars. We've built everything around this. This is like, if anybody's around. Good night, bud. I love you.
All right.
If anybody's around,
we're live, Moose.
This is a warning for, because I would assume that they care enough about humans and society that it is their duty to send that message forward. And I'm projecting and putting a lot of things out there, but
what was the last 26,000 years ago? What happened to kill all the people? Animal organisms, whatever.
Yeah. So one idea is that there is, and they don't actually know. And this is somebody supposing stuff, and he's considered a fringe journalist, even though people treat him like a false scientist. So the idea is the precession of the equinox. Our Earth has a wobble like a top, and we're pointing at this star, and then 26,000 years. We wobble around till we point at that star again. So there are a couple of there's the Mayan calendar, which people have been like, oh, you know, that people thought there was going to be a pole shift at the end of it because we didn't really know about things. And the precession of the equinox is like a new, it's fairly new as far as our understanding of the cosmos. Yet these ancient societies knew about that. And we're learning that they knew about it. We mistranslated things because we didn't know about it when we were learning about them. And so in this realm of even the people who created constellations, so the zodiac constellations, you know, they are what we look at certain nights of the sky, but a few of them point to the galactic center of the Milky Way. And so like the tail of Scorpio, which is can also be an eagle in some different civilizations. Sagittarius's bow is aimed at the center of the galaxy.
Dude, I've seen what people think the constellations are, and it'll be like five stars. And then there will be like an entire bear in a cave with his friends. And I'm like, how the fuck is that what that is?
You have to cross your eyes, man.
So that's like this. I'm sorry, Todd, what?
You have to cross your eyes, man.
it's a magic eye.
But the stingy tail of Scorpio aims to the center of the galaxy.
I'm sure it does, only because they made it up to be that way. The stingy tail of he's not hearing me at all. He's just talking.
I am.
We made that up. That's not a thing. The stingy tail of the scorpion, we made that up. So why would that have any proof at all? Are we even talking about the right thing? Or should we talk about the end of the world? Like, what's the end of the world stuff?
So I'm leading into even this constellation stuff, because at this cross of Hende, there's four drawings on it, you know. One of them One of them being, sorry.
Maybe Moose knows. Get him back in here.
Well, I'm just trying to tie things together. Like, so if you took the zodiac and made the circle and you put Aquarius at noon, right? Then at 3 o'clock would be Taurus. At 6 o'clock would be Leo, and at 9 o'clock would be Scorpio. Those are 4 points that make a cross in the sky, right? So one idea is another marker in relation to the precession of the equinox is when one of those crosses is we're pointing at to mark. So basically every 13,000 years, somebody has this idea that we go through one of these major points in the sky, which is one of these four, of the constellations. And so somebody that was trying to tie these things together went and took some ice core samples from Greenland, right? And so every 13,000 years, there was, every 26,000 years, there was a huge layer of iridium and rhodium, meaning that every 26,000 years, the ice in Greenland gets covered with some cosmic dust, which is also the length of the precession of the equinox, which is also
So how does that mean that the world's going to end though?
Right.
What's the apocalypse?
There's one guy. Have you heard of a Seyfert galaxy? Do you know what a quasar is? Basically, a quasar is one of the brightest things in the sky. It's a huge type of galaxy that's so bright that you can't see what's in the galaxy, right? Well, later on, they redefined that in 1943 because somebody took some quasars and dimmed the light and said, oh, shit, you can see the arms of this galaxy. And so this is actually a process that's happening from the center of the galaxy. Like, you know, at the center of the Milky Way right now, they think that there is a huge black hole. And so this guy is saying that every 26,000 years, the center of our galaxy, which is a black hole, kind of blows out and sends out like a what they would call a Seyfert galaxy, but it sends out all this extra radiation and cosmic dust. And so a lot of these old cycles are, you know, might be aware of this galactic cycle. And so in the realm of me thinking that there have been more advanced civilizations of the past, they still don't survive because every 26,000 years, the center of the galaxy blows out this dust and kind of resets humanity. And anybody who knows about this goes underground. So there are some old caves in Chile. There's, all these. There's like, and this cross points, this guy deciphered some stuff and pointed to this place in Chile where that has this giant massive underground cavern system. And so he's suggesting that the cross of Hende is saying, hey, the top of the cross is a galactic event happening. The bottom of the cross is Earth. And so at some point this is going to happen. And the only people that will survive will go to this cave in Chile. I mean, that's one place that people have survived before.
Right, according to that guy.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's
a bunch of fucking radiation and shit, and it just like kills anyone on the surface.
Yeah, and they he was saying.
What about the dogs, Willie? What about the dogs?
They're dead.
That's not cool.
He's saying that somebody in the chat was saying there wasn't an extinction event 26,000 years ago. Supposedly in the realm of this, there was that I think 13,000 years ago was when, it was either 13 or 26 when the woolly mammoths and the saber-toothed tigers and the giant sloths all 13,000 years ago.
Well, fuck the past. Let's talk about the present and future. So when is this supposed to happen, and how deep is your bunker right now?
So one idea is that it's very soon. It ties into, so let's say the Mayan calendar was when the galactic event happened, right? It would still take thousands of years for that explosion and or that light to reach us. So he's supposing may have already happened, and so that this is coming.
This is someone who was heavily invested in the world ending in 2012. Or was that the Aztec? What was the 2012 calendar?
It was Mayan. The calendar just ended. Their box.
Yeah. So this is someone who was like, hey, the world's going to end 2012. And then it didn't. And now he's doubling down.
Well, this guy wasn't into that, but he's trying to take all the different things and put them together on his, right? So one of them is...
They say that that's good for doing a painting. You just put all the colors together on it, and then it becomes beautiful somehow. I just like, why would you take every dumb thing that people have said and been like, yeah, let's... Maybe this is all real. These dummies. Maybe these dummies are right. Stop me at any time.
Tell me what you think of all this. I mean, I know you only saw a little bit of the documentary, but I delved deeper into a bunch of other shit. But what's your take on this?
Well, like quick note in the doc, there's this part where it talks about like how like at the end of the world, you know, it would take all the pure people and leave all the bad, banish all the, destroy all the bad people, and it would also rescue the pure metals and banish and destroy all the impure metals. Like, these people had a boner for metal, sort of thing, I guess. Like, is your metal pure? So I thought that was kind of weird, but I wasn't sure to extrapolate from the doc if it was like about something that was very elaborate and intentional. You know what I mean? Like, someone's like, there's a plan for this event to happen, where I'm sort of getting more from what you're saying now that it's a pattern. It's like a cycle. It's just something that happens.
And that's the question. That's why I asked that question earlier, is that like, well, if we knew something was going to happen, but like far enough away to where it wouldn't really affect us, what would we do? Make a website dedicated to it?
Far enough away time-wise, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All those, the poor people who do this research, and like, why am I the only one who knows about the end of the world?
It's a little...
And also another...
Don't we foresee numerous possible ends to the world? We don't do anything about them currently.
The world has ended, man. Have you seen comment threads lately and for the past 20 years?
Right. Let me give you a tip with communicating with people on the internet. You just have to picture them all as a 12-year-old boy. Once you picture them all as a 12-year-old boy, it gets so much easier to ignore them.
Well, yeah, I was just like, I picture you as a 12-year-old boy. Yeah, 12-year-old boy would kick your ass.
Sure. I'm sure. Like, especially when it comes to sports. Well, you know, we got the best player in the history of the game. Just a couple other things that he tied in together. Also, he was like the Hopis. Their end of the world story is that a blue star, Siska. I can't even read my shit. A blue Kachina. The arrival of blue Kachina, a blue star, would signal the end of the world. And this guy was saying that if a Seyfert galaxy event happened at the center of the Milky Way, it would glow blue. So we would, other than the first thing we would see is the center of the galaxy glowing blue and getting brighter and brighter. And then we get blasted with cosmic.
Where would that be? I mean, I guess it depends on where we are in relation to the sun, but like, how would we, where would it be? It's random, right? It would be wherever we are in the year.
Yeah. But in 2012, the center of the galaxy was aligned with our sun. It was behind our sun. So when the sun rose December 21st, 2012, the sun and the galactic center were aligned with the Earth. So, I mean, I'm just saying like that's pretty cool. And so if something did happen in the center of the galaxy, yeah, it may not have reached us yet.
So really what you're saying is the 2012 theory was correct. It's just taken a while.
Yeah, and I personally really don't believe that the end of the calendar had anything to do with the end of the world. It was just another end. It was just the end of their cycle, whatever their calendar was. But it was fucking 26,000 years old. I mean, what do you do with the next one? You just start over.
What am I going to just make this calendar go forever? When do you want me to stop?
Well, James, dude,
because I've been working on this calendar for a long time. I'm all the way up to 2012.
The yuga cycle that the Hindus follow, it was like 493 billion years old or something like that, right? These monks that determined the length of their yuga cycles, and then they retreated to the caves and became monks or whatever. So they like didn't communicate with people, and then after they were gone, people started going like, I think their calculations were off, but they couldn't like confirm with them that they were off. So there's like three different versions that people have put together of how long the yuga cycles are. And so the most popular one is the one supposing that this yuga cycle will change at this around this time now too. And no one can confirm when in time it's supposed to happen.
How long do you think it would take for the radiation to cut? Like, let's say we do see the blue thing, right? And because we've talked about this, we all know that it's radiation coming to kill us all. How long would it actually take once we saw it to once it was here? And in that time, could I convince myself that it would be better to go underground than to just fucking wait and die,
right? And so I don't know the numbers, but I do know that the light would travel a lot faster than the blast. So I think you would have enough time to go to Chile and go into these caves or that place that had, I forget the place where what do you, there's some underground, we talked about it recently, there's an underground city that they found basically. But
the whole Chile thing seems mythological or like mysticism. I feel like if you're just underground to any certain degree, you'll be fine,
right? Yeah, totally. Like listen, if you saw the blue light, go to the Denver International Airport and just put a badge on and just go as low as you can, right? Because there's definitely there's definitely no secret locks. Underground base,
there's no just locks on the doors go. Just walk through as long as you have a badge that you made. You printed off the internet.
I actually listened to a scripted podcast recently about like someone who like he's a like super billionaire, and he creates a deep underground ecosystem, and he doesn't kidnap, but he tricks all these people into being there when the world is supposed to end, and it locks on them, and they have to survive and figure out if they were being bullshitted or not. It was pretty neat.
Is this a show or a book? What'd you say?
It's a Q code thing called Evergreen, like a episode.
Oh, a podcast. Yeah, Evergreen.
Pretty neat. And but just the idea that like someone could get people in a bunker and they wouldn't know if he was like lying is like, no, there's an asteroid and it destroyed everything. Everyone you know is dead. Now you're here, and they're like, but what? What do you mean?
Yeah. Right. What was the what's that movie?
That's the plot. It's Brendan Fraser. Is this what you're talking about? Brendan Fraser. Blast from the Past.
Yeah, there's that one. I was thinking of, fuck, what's the one?
Encino Man?
Yeah, Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
Oh, it's kind of like Cloverfield. Yeah.
They don't believe them that that happened. That, I like that was pretty good. I mean,
yeah. Well, I do like what, like the idea of like what Wade said about like it meant to be here in 2012, and it was like, oh shit, I'm late, and it gets on a skateboard, and the power of love comes on. But like, so it could still be on its way, maybe.
That's what Willie's saying, because at 2012, the center of the universe was behind the sun, so it could still be coming, and we just don't know it yet. And I mean, prayer is answered for me. I really want the world to end, man. Like, if I had any kind of brains or superpowers, I would be the bad guy that the Avengers tried to fight. Like, for sure.
You imagine the Avengers as like 12-year-old boys?
If they're commenting to me on the internet, sure.
Yeah.
If they're punching me in the face, probably not.
We're coming for you. Assemble.
Yeah. I'm in Denver. Come and find me.
Well, I mean, but is that the part of you that also believes that that when we die, that's it?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about this whole life thing. I don't know why people want it to keep going forever.
Yeah,
it's fine. I've done it. I've done enough where I'm like, all right, I get it. Let's wrap it up. What like, more is there to do here?
Like stories, they have meaning because they end, right?
I almost feel like, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I almost feel like if I do believe that I'm being controlled by a joystick and some entity in a different dimension or whatever, that I should like start robbing banks and shit just to like spice up that game a little bit for that guy.
Getting a bit,
but then that would be him doing it. It would be him doing it. So I don't know. How does simulation theory work? It's crazy.
Well, and that's the thing too. Even in the simulation theory, if you know that an end is approaching, can that help you ticky-tacky try to find the cracks in the matrix? You know, like because if an event situation is happening in a simulation, then all the programs are a part of, there's a lot of work going on. So in the same way the 2000 Y2K might happen on the simulation scale, that might be bigger, that there'd be cracks would start showing up.
But in this version that you're talking about, is it, what are the cracks? Is it, would you need a computer to get them, or would they be visible, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, you can't trust anything on TikTok or Instagram, you know.
Yeah, you got to go to Facebook for all the good stuff.
But, you know, for how many times UFOs have been called ball lightning or ball gas, I've never seen that. So, look out for that.
Well, okay. But I've never seen a UFO.
But I mean, like geological. So when I think of cracks in the simulation, it's got to be on the visual scale, but of the makeup, right? So probably things in the sky first.
Well, here's my question then. If the world is ending around us and you see a crack, do you go into that? And listen, you're not the protagonist of some fictitious movie. You're you. Do you go into that?
I mean, my answer is no. But have you heard of these? Have you heard of these?
Well, hang on. What about Todd? Water? Todd, what do you think? Would you go into it? You can stay on Earth, and it might end. Or you can go into this crack where you don't know what's going to happen.
And it's glowing.
It's glowing, dude. What's your favorite color?
Pink, baby. The Barbie movie, right?
Pink. It's the opposite color of pink. It couldn't be less welcoming.
Well, I mean, between anything and shitty old Earth. I'd go with the anonymous crack.
I guess that's The anonymous crack sounds like a pretty good gay porn.
That's what I was going for. You picked it up. Yeah. But for real though, if it came down to it, I would probably be like, I would go for the what else.
The only reason I think Willie wouldn't is because of your family, right? Let's say you don't have a family, wipe them away. And also, I'm making this too easy because I guess I would too, because what's the worst that happens? You die. But also, there's no guarantee that Earth is actually ending.
Right. So you see the blue light happening.
The world would have to be in danger for me to make that decision.
It's in danger right now. That's right. Not even a hypothetical.
Why
let's say that a crack opens up tomorrow and it's the opposite color of pink. Do you walk into that?
Well, I guess not. Like by this definition of the world's over, right?
Well, you could throw something into it first.
Right.
Well, what'd that prove?
Well, okay.
You could do the Exorcist and tie a string to it. Is it Exorcist or no?
Poltergeist.
Yeah,
Poltergeist. You tie a string to it, you throw it in, and you drag it back and see if it's fucked up or not.
Covered in juicy,
guts. No, I'm just gonna.
But if it was just covered in juicy guts, then would you go in? Like you're like, well, I guess I'll just be covered in juicy guts.
Oh, it turns everything inside out. Yeah.
Hey, and I just wanted to bring up this other thing because this was kind of mind blowing to me. So I told you about the four points of the zodiac. This story in Ezekiel and from the Bible, Ezekiel 1:1, where it basically sounds like he's describing a UFO or something crazy, you know. I had never heard this before, but I'll just read it real quick. This is Ezekiel 4-9. I looked, and this is, you know, the translation that I don't agree with, but I saw an immense dust storm come from the north, an immense cloud with lightning flashing from it, a huge ball of fire glowing like bronze. Within the fire were what looked like four creatures vibrant with life. Each had the form of a human being, but each also had four faces and four wings. Their legs were as sturdy and straight as columns, but their feet were hoofed like those on a calf and sparkled from the fire like burnished bronze. On all four sides under their wings, they had human hands. All four had both faces and wings, with the wings touching one another. They turned neither one way nor the other. They went straight forward. Their faces looked like this. In front, a human face. On the right side, a face of a lion. On the left side, a face of an ox. And in the back, the face of an eagle. This is him describing something that he saw in the air, right? These winged creatures. And so what's funny is these four faces that he describes are these four same points on the constellation. The front is a human face. That's Aquarius. On the right side of the face is a lion. That's Leo. On the left side is an ox. Ox would be Taurus. And then in the back, the face of an eagle. And Scorpio has been described as eagle or a scorpion. It's just crazy to me that the four faces that Ezekiel is describing are also the four corner points of the zodiac constellation, which was around back then. So is this some weird also vision of maybe this was something that he was given? Because this information that he got, he was also told to give this information to other people. The spirit entered me and put me on my feet as if spoken to me. Son of man, I'm sending you to the family of Israel, a rebellious nation, if there ever was one. They and their ancestors, whatever. It's basically saying, go tell these people, whether they believe you or not, about this vision. And the vision and the faces are the four corners of the zodiac constellation. It kind of blew my mind. Does that blow your mind at all?
No, because... Is this the Bible? What's Ezekiel? Is this the Bible?
Yeah, yeah, this is the Bible.
Yeah, so then later they named it based on the Bible.
But these constellations were around before that, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm sure they were, but the way that you know their names didn't come from before that, right?
Yeah, no, it's just it's crazy that the four faces are also the four corners of the. He doesn't say that they're stars.
Like the zodiac clock thing?
Yeah.
I found that interesting. In the doc or the episode, wasn't there a few more things sort of reflecting Christianity in a way? Like they kept pointing to INRI letters
and the top of the cross. People accept that INRI means Jesus of Nazareth, whatever. But it's actually just letters, and they can mean other things. And what was the phrase? It was something about burning.
He had a recording
by
a lady.
It says by fire nature is renewed is another translation of INRI. So people see this cross and they're like, oh, it's a Catholic cross, leave it up. But it's the secrets of it when you unlock it are like, fuck, man, the by fire nature is renewed. It's all going to blast and blow out and new societies will have to try again. And that's me putting too much into it, too. But
I will say I hate the idea of like for like. Some crazy situation. I'm at the forefront with you guys and we know what's going to happen and it's about to happen. Coming up with the way that we're going to communicate it with people that if they're here on this planet, however long from now, they're not going to know the English language. Like, cause like, why would you put it in coding? If they put this and this and this together and they make these odd connections, maybe they'll end up with some sort of semblance of a message saying like, fuck, the world's going to end at about this time, because that's all we're really trying to say in the warning, right? We're trying to say like, hey, around here, the world's going to end again. Watch out.
You're not wrong. It just got lost in translation. It would be us writing 911 and then people going like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, it's so much clearer if you just put like, if you just put like a dead body, then people would be like, this must be bad. Everyone knows what a dead human looks like, unless we evolve out of something else and we don't look like humans anymore. But that would be it, right? Like dead, just a dead body.
Well, and see, and so like in a lot of these ancient societies, like, the stars, if there was a cyclical event, the stars would have the cycle. So you'd have to, but you have to set up that you know the cycle of the precession of the equinox first. Otherwise, it's like, hey, you're looking at stars. You think these are going to be the same for your whole life? They actually change, you know? So, and it's funny too, because like when you say, yeah, the whole joke is like, oh, people always talk about Europe's 9/11. Like, oh, you mean 11/9? Their subway debacle where they were, well, whatever. I'm not going to get into it. That's another topic. But
wait, but why did you bring it up? Did they have a thing on 11/9?
Well, they do the date and the
day
and the month backwards. So I just laugh when everybody says, oh, Britain's 9/11. Like, so that would mean November 9th.
You want them to be the equivalent. You want the headlines to read as the equivalent of like the Latino reporter who says like nacho instead of just like nachos, you know, those ones. They put their accent spin on it. Like if we had like a Russian reporter and some kind of Russian story came up, you know what I mean?
Maybe 11/9 is like their emergency number, but instead of the word emergency, the blimey line, like blimey, Call 119.
I honestly think, though, that if the world were to end in my lifetime, invisible radiation would be the best, I think, the best way, right?
Yeah, like that movie from the 80s, The Day After or something.
Well, and that's the whole thing about this to me is like this topic isn't about the world ending. It's how to avoid society collapsing from a galactic cycle. So should we all have underground bunkers?
If you care, I mean, if you care, listen, I don't care about I don't care about humanity. I don't care. I guess if you cared, you would want to do stuff. But I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah.
I'm fine. You know, we are turning into preppers. So I see that if you have some property and wouldn't mind me digging there, I'll make a bunker for you and me.
And I'm going to go to all the stores and buy all the fucking toilet paper.
That's the one thing I feel like you wouldn't. If you're really doomsday prepping, that toilet paper, it feels like it would be a fucked up thing to take.
Yeah, you because should be what, getting candles.
You can't use. Yeah, get a bunch of Febreze. You're going to be underground. Maybe there's no shower. You just spray down with some Febreze.
Like if you're underground, you need a porta potty down there to eat up all that poop and the poop smell. Otherwise, you're just going to poop sitting next to you. And who wants to live down there with you when everybody's pooping in the hole?
Yeah, you know what would be the thing to hoard is that thing that they that pellet that they drop into outhouses that like eats fucking shit. That's the thing to hoard. That's what you want. Toilet paper? I can use Kerouac for that.
I can make some bread and wipe my ass with it.
Oh my God. That's so fucking gross.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate it. Well, we got about 2 minutes, so is there any kind of final thoughts, Todd? I mean, we didn't hear a ton from you. What do you think? Is the world ending based on this 26,000 years thing?
I found it interesting. I'm not saying it's bullshit, but I don't necessarily read into it what the host of the documentary does, and I don't necessarily believe in a lot. I mean, I'm open to astrology and other stuff like that. I just don't think that I don't have any reason to believe it's going to end. No, back to you guys.
Thank you, Todd. Willie, final kind of.
I'm definitely happy to know the signs of these things because I'm like, who knows how dates and stuff can actually line up. But I'm like, I like the idea of going like, yeah, our fucking galaxy has a cycle and we need to be aware of it just so that we know about it. I don't think it's soon.
Okay, well, we're going to continue the conversation with Todd on our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, 2 bonus episodes a week. And remember, we're switching time. So next Sunday, if you want to see us live, it's going to be 4 p.m. Pacific. Shrub Home Video, reallifesci-fi.show. We've got like a link tree on there. There's like t-shirts or something. I don't even know. Thank you, everyone. Oh, Apo. Listen to Frequency 101. Todd and Willie have a show on there. Google it. So does Apo. Thanks for chiming in. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Todd.